It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, airs statewide on HPR1 stations on Friday, part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered, and then archived online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where all of our Helping Hand segments and resources are kept. Each week, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and others among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, we are learning about the Crisis Text Line. It is a free 24/7 support for those in crisis, a variety of crises we will hear. And all someone would have to do anywhere in the U.S. is text 741741. And then you're going to be texting with a trained crisis counselor. In Hawaii, it would be text ALOHA to 741741. And they have over 42 million messages processed to date. Seems like a lot, and they're looking for volunteers to support the mission. We're going to learn a lot more about what they do, how they do it, and how we can support them with Katie Kopeski. Am I pronouncing that right?
It's Kopsky.
Kopsky. We are going to learn a lot more with our guest, Katie Kopsky, who is the volunteer crisis counselor and volunteer recruiter with Crisis Text Line. Aloha. Welcome to HPR.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And first, I'm sure it's a new name to a lot of people. Who is the organization? How did it get started?
Yeah, so Crisis Text Line has been around since 2013. We actually celebrated our fourth anniversary today, August 1st. And we grew out of another organization, so DoSomething.org, which is the largest organization orienting towards youth and social change. Was originally sending out messages to teens and young adults about local campaigns, things like getting together t-shirts for the homeless or jars of peanut butter for their school. And then they decided, you know what, we're going to change our method to email, from email to text messaging. And basically what happened was they had a 99% read rate, which meant an increase in volunteerism, but it came with an unexpected responses. Things like, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. The kids bully me. I just started cutting again and my parents found out. And an actual text message that DoSomething.org received was, he won't stop raping me. It's my dad. He told me not to tell anybody, are you there? And when Nancy Loveland received that message, she said, we have to do something about this. I mean, people are comfortable texting in about things that are going on with them, but we're here about social change, so we need to do something else. So it was then that she started the brainchild of Crisis Text Line.
Wow, that's pretty interesting and some very severe, both an example, I guess, of the kinds of things people would reach out for, but also startling that these kinds of things are going on. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a motivation to try to help someone out. And then the interaction itself. So we get a little just from what you're saying, but we're flashing forward to the crisis text line today as it functions. Let's think about, because we're here in Hawaii and that's what we're talking about. Obviously, it's a nationwide thing, but dialing in on anyone here somewhere in the state, how does the interaction take place? Explain.
Yeah, so people text in, they can just say start, aloha. We like to use the keyword aloha here because it helps with our data collection.
Sure.
And then they can message in about whatever it is that is kind of stressing them out, whatever is causing them pain at that moment. Our top issues are depression, anxiety, suicide ideation, and family issues. But what it looks like after that is just an interchange between the texter and the trained crisis counselor. So we're finding out more about the issue, building rapport, and then probably talking to them about what coping strategies they have. Have they ever reached out to somebody else to talk about this? We find that 63% of our texters haven't shared whatever it is that they're struggling with somebody else. That's really fascinating for us, the fact that they weren't really quite ready yet to tell their parent or tell a friend. Maybe they didn't have the confidence yet to tell a teacher, but they decided anonymously they were ready to talk to somebody. So we might talk to them about other resources that they might benefit from and wrap up the conversation and send them on a way with a plan. So our goal is to move them from a hot moment to a cool calm. We're a short-term service. Our conversations tend to last about 45 minutes with people, and hopefully they feel more empowered to better take care of themselves and whatever situation they're going through at the time.
Is there an age range? Because a few years ago, at least, I know the world is changing dramatically, but as texting has evolved into pop culture, there was a period where it seemed something like that was more of a youthful endeavor. I even remember when I would be like, oh, I'm not going to text a guy friend of mine. It seems a little weird. Now everybody, you know, it's just a different sort of reality check. So when we think about the folks who take advantage of this, does it skew young, old? Is it all over?
It definitely skews young. 75% of our texters are under the age of 25. So we're definitely hitting that kind of that younger population. So that's not to say that older folks might not take advantage of us, but this is definitely a mode of communication that's much more comfortable for teenage.
Is there digging into those numbers? So 75% under 25, how many are minors?
I don't have that information right in front of me, but I could definitely get it for you.
No, I'm just curious. So there's a percentage of them that are mine, because the mind would think it could be like the bulk of it are minors. I guess it's hard to figure out, but it doesn't matter. Okay, so 75% of the people are under 25, so it does skew young. And is someone texting with a person in their geographical area, or how does the assignment of who they're going to talk to work?
Great question. So it's not based by geography. That's a common question that I get, especially with the keyword of aloha. Like, does that mean that they would get paired with someone here in Hawaii? So no, that's not the case. So basically what happens is, as a crisis counselor, I log on for my shift, let's say Friday night, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. here in Hawaii. And whoever's texting in just gets kind of put into our queue. How our queue works is it actually rank orders by severity. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's initial text says something like death or pills, there's a certain amount of words that our computer has recognized that will tend to lead to people being more at risk. So those people actually get shoved up to the top of our queue and get paired with a crisis counselor faster.
How does that algorithm get developed? Is that something that some computer programmer came up with? I get what you're saying. There's certain words that would be signposts that a computer could read. If someone's texting that in, that's more severe than this other person. Like you said, I'm having trouble at school, or I can't get my homework done. My dad's mad at me versus I'm going to OD on something. So it's a computer program that did it?
Yeah. So the first person hired with Crisis Text Line was a data analyst. So we have lots of data scientists that are constantly combing through conversations and looking at pairings so that we can make predictive analysis, which is what we're talking about. So if someone says this, then they're more likely to
need help quicker.
Exactly. Essentially. So those people we get to on average in under 2 minutes, but everyone else we tend to get to in under 5 minutes, which is faster than the national average of 14 minutes for talk lines.
And that would be, is that what it takes to get somebody on the phone on what, like a suicide hotline?
Mm-hmm. On average.
On average. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I haven't looked at here locally.
And so the answer is, you could be in Iowa, you sign on to your shift at certain hours, whatever, wherever the texts are coming in. So wherever your counselors are, they all enter one database, and that's the same as the people who are seeking help. That makes sense. And there are details at the website. Again, crisistextline.org is the website, and it explains some of this. Can every cell phone or cell plan work with the service?
Yeah, so we're covered by all the major carriers. If you don't have a major carrier, it's kind of standard text message rates. The other thing that people can do if they don't want to have their conversation still, like, even show up on the bill or on their phone, they can text us the word loofah, and it just scrubs that. So it's just not even there.
So someone does that, and
wouldn't even show up on their bill.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
But it's all covered. They're not charged.
So there are, and that leads into the next question. Are there any charges for this service?
Nope.
Okay.
Completely free, completely confidential.
How are you guys funded to be able to provide it?
Yeah. So we're a national nonprofit. All of our donations are privately funded. Our top donors are Melinda Gates, Reid Hoffman of LinkedIn, the Ballmer Group, and various other private donors.
Okay, so and no government funding.
Mm-mm.
And probably a very important question, maybe the most, I just wanted to get some background on the service first before we circled back into something we started talking about earlier. How are the people trained to be able to respond to such a seemingly limitless range of crises and to do it with what maybe to an to some people listening would seem like a pretty impersonal means of doing it and maybe not as immediate as talking to someone, and also just the nature of crises. Like what kind of training goes into this?
Yeah, so all of our, so I'll start kind of from step one. So someone decides they want to become a volunteer. They go to the website and fill out the application, just kind of talking about who they are as a person, why they're interested. All of our volunteers have to consent to a background check, and then they go through 34 hours of online, pretty intense training. I almost think of it as like an online course, like kind of a crash course in crisis intervention. So we go over the basics of how do you respond to crisis versus, you know, other types of issues that people are struggling with. Because we are short-term and we're not wanting to build dependency on our program. So we start off by talking about what we call good contact techniques, and that's really to help build rapport. You're right, it can kind of seem like this really impersonal thing, and it's actually really beautiful to think about strangers helping strangers with these very intimate things that are happening in their lives. I mean, people texting in about bullying and self-harm. So once we get through kind of building rapport, it's okay, let's learn about these different topic areas. So we have modules of videos and readings on each of the main topic areas that people are likely going to interface with whenever they're actually texting. There's quizzes along the way, there's a test at the end. That's why I made it seem like it's almost like an online class. And you get more kind of that like real time as well by doing role plays and seeing it live. So the mechanism that we use is called a platform. So that's what we sign on to. So even before you've graduated, you actually get an orientation to this platform. You watch your trainer, the person guiding you through training, actually take on a conversation and talk about how they're going to respond, what they're going to say, what might have they said differently. You get to ask questions to the trainer that they can talk to that, or they can potentially use with that person right then and there.
Is that online training?
Mm-hmm. So all of it's online.
Is the service, are the counselors actually doing the texting using a computer?
Yes.
I get it. So the phone is hooked. So when you're texting for help, it is a person on the other end is able to respond using a computer.
Yeah. And what's great about that is once crisis counselors have graduated and they're actually starting their first shift and beyond, once they become higher levels, they can take on multiple conversations. So because I'm a level five, I can take on five different conversations at once. So that's multiple people that I'm helping within my shift.
Interesting. How much confidentiality is there in cases where someone appears set to end their life or is indicated there is a life-threatening or potentially harmful situation occurring at that moment?
Yeah. So we do get quite a few texters that talk about suicide, and then what we do is called the ladder up risk assessment. It's very common for people in crisis counseling. So we ask, you know, that they might mention something to where we'd be like, hey, have you thought about killing yourself? So thoughts is the first one. And then do they have a plan? Do they have access to that plan? And then do they have a timeline within the next 24 hours to go through with that plan? So if someone answers all of those questions with yes, then that would be that texter is at imminent risk. And I just want to put out for the record, that doesn't happen very often. A lot more people have thoughts and maybe a plan, but not actually thinking about doing it right then and there. So I know it can seem overwhelming and a bit nerve-wracking when someone like starts to mention that they're feeling suicidal, but most of the time it doesn't get elevated. Our goal is not to have to do active rescues all the time. So our goal is to de-escalate that, in fact. If someone does answer all those questions, I would flag my supervisor. So all crisis counselors are overseen by master's level, PhD level, who are watching each of our conversations. And so I would loop them in and say, hey, I have a texter at imminent risk. And we would see if they would be willing to safety plan with us. If not, then it would be the supervisor who would find out their location and get their local law enforcement involved to make sure that they stay safe. I'm still communicating with that texter. So the supervisor is kind of doing the behind the scenes work. So I'm still interacting with them. I'm still thanking them for still being here and probably slathering on some strength ideas about how courageous they are for texting in and how, you know, we hope that things get better for them. And here, let's talk about different positive things that they have coming up in their life.
It sounds like, not to be critical, but it sounds like, I mean, because if somebody's at the considering ending their life, I can't imagine that someone would just have a random, you know, would be able to be stopped by a random text like that. It seems like there would be like certain situations. I mean, nothing's wrong with your plan on it. It just doesn't seem very, very realistic to think that that if someone was in that situation, they could be stopped by text. It almost seems like the services can help with a lot of crises, but at some level, I don't know. I don't really know. It's an interesting method. I just can't imagine that if someone was really interested in killing themselves, that this would stop them. But it's certainly... Well,
I mean, I think if they were really that intent on doing it, they probably wouldn't have texted in.
No,
so
that's true.
I think, you know,
it's a lower level. It's more entry level of an issue. And it's still nice to have a something there to assist people, because there are, as your examples point out, there are a lot of ways someone can be in crisis, and you can't really minimize that.
Yeah.
If you're a child, you're in school, a bunch of people are constantly picking on you, that could lead to a lot of devastating results, and all the other examples too. I mean, there's a lot of things. It's tough to be here in this physical vessel for as long as. What drove you to do? Is there an interesting story that made you want to do this kind of thing?
Unfortunately, I don't have an interesting story. I was in between jobs and I was kind of bored. So I just Googled psychology and volunteerism, and crisis text line came up, and I'm so glad that it did. I've asked people their reasons for wanting to become crisis counselors. We actually have some people who have texted in and enjoyed our service and appreciated our service and got the help that they needed and then decided, hey, I want to give back to this community that was helpful for me. A lot of people that come to us are also young people that are maybe in their undergrad looking for kind of real world experience, and crisis counseling definitely gives them that. We also really appreciate folks who are maybe in the twilight of their career as maybe a social worker or a psychologist and just want to give back to the community and have all these amazing skills that we can take advantage of.
Well, that's a good lead-in. So people can volunteer, as you've been hearing this. Some of this is obvious, but so you can be a volunteer. You can obviously donate to support the organization, as Katie has pointed out. Other ways, other things that folks listening can do to support this organization?
Yeah, so number one is definitely more volunteer crisis counselors. We have 34 here in the state of Hawaii, and we're wanting to double that. And here's the reason why. Hawaii is amazing for this organization because of the time zone advantage. So because we service the nation, people who are texting in from New York at 2 a.m., that's only 8 p.m. for us. So we have the amazing ability to cover our peak volume times without really interfering with our normal sleep schedule. Mm-hmm. So people on the East Coast that are wanting to help out have to stay up really late and drink lots of coffee in order to stick with those texters. But it's really early for us. So my shift of 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. covers a lot of those really high risk folks that are texting in because they're thinking about stuff and it's keeping them awake. We're available for that. So our goal is to double the amount that we have here. Other ways that they can support is really just spreading the message of that text Aloha to 741-741, saving it in their phone so that they have a chance to basically, you know, let other people know about it as well.
So awareness for what you guys are doing, being a volunteer themselves, are there different shifts or is that the only one that's us?
Yeah, so people can select whatever shifts that they want. The primary ones that we're hoping to get West Coast and Hawaii into are those later ones so that we can be there to be the night owls or almost night owls to help out with those peak times.
Entire service limited to text interactions.
So yes, people text in only. And it's great for them because it's private. They don't have to talk out loud. Many times people, you know, it's late at night or it's not something that they're really ready to communicate orally. And so text is just this really comfortable mode of communication for them.
Here's the contact information. You can, when in crisis, text the word Aloha or start. Right to 741-741. You can find more information about the program and also links to contact them to become a volunteer or ask questions if you've got them. CrisisTextLine.org. You can reach Katie, my guest, at Katie@CrisisTextLine.org. All of the contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, all of our other Helping Hand guests and their contact information, all waiting for you at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. Anything that we did not get in there that's you're thinking, oh, we didn't bring up the such and such?
Yeah, just a little bit about the data part of the house.
Sure.
So not only do we provide this amazing service, we have the largest mental health data set. Every conversation we get to code and look at really interesting stuff that comes from that. So not only for the nation, but also for a specific area. So I can tell us things about Hawaii texters. So we've had about 400 conversations here. People have texted into our text line. What's interesting, and I don't think that this will be a surprise to our listeners, so people that text in from Hawaii are 2 times more likely to mention military and homelessness than the national average. So not surprising because we have all branches of the military here, and we have partnerships with military organizations, suicide prevention manager, who has been great about spreading the message here. And homelessness, I mean, it's in our news all the time.
Ground zero. And certainly on the note of military and suicide, my perception is, and I could have this wrong, but there is a much higher rate of suicide for members of the armed forces.
So I can't speak to that as far as our data. We'd probably have to look at, you know, more national.
But you're getting your top two inquiries relate something to do with the military or your top two topics or how does it work again?
Sorry. So are the top issues that people are texting in about are same as the national average.
Okay.
But 2 times more often, people are talking about things related to the military and homelessness in comparison to the national average for crisis text line data.
It's a fascinating thing. We're certainly into the future. And again, it's crisis text line and crisistextline.org to find out more online. We've been blessed today to have Katie Kopsky, who is the volunteer crisis counselor, volunteer recruiter with Crisis Text Line. And I appreciate you both coming down here today, but also being so informative about this innovative way that no doubt has the potential to help out folks who are facing a variety of needs. Wishing you guys a lot of luck with the effort and am grateful for you being there for people in need. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you.